July 3, 2023, it's the Walk from Pedro Show. from Pedro Show. Happy Monday. Started off with John Coltrane doing Mr. PCS for, God damn me, 22 years and I still had a fucking monitor on. Okay, blowing clams, keeping you humble. Mr. PCS from Mr. Paul Chambers, November 22, 1962, John Coltrane with his quartet. Abrona after that with Plant the Flag. And speaking of Abrona, I got the main man behind that project. Welcome aboard.
Yo, Eric, good
how you doing? Eric Crispin, people. Yeah. I want to learn about your journey through music. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, man. Probably listening to music by myself maybe was my earliest thing. I remember having like a little Fisher-Price tape player, like the brown and tan one. And I remember sitting on like the wall between my house and the neighbor's house listening to like a Michael Jackson tape. I want to say that's like the earliest I ever remember.
What's the Watch for Pedro show? There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers, especially when it comes to fucking memories.
Yeah.
Right? They're maybe not the most reliable, but it doesn't matter. It's where you are today. There was a road that led up to there. You might have forgotten things about it. I forgot buttloads of mine, or I was convinced, I was certain. Did it ever happen to you? Like, I know what that house looks like, and then you finally go by, past it again a few years, and it doesn't look anything like your memory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fucked up. The pad you grew up in, Eric, was there musical instruments?
There was always one nylon string guitar that my mom had been gifted in the 70s from a boyfriend. It never had strings. It maybe had like one or two strings left on it. They had all just kind of broken off, and it sat in a corner. No one really. I think my mom actually taught piano lessons when she was like a teenager, but she didn't really play music by the time I was born. And there was always this guitar sitting in the corner, and
Did you just look at it, or did you jump on it?
Sometimes I get it out and like mess around with it, but it wasn't in tune. It had like two or three strings. So that was when I decided I wanted to play guitar. I was like, 13 or something. I wanted an electric guitar because I wanted to rock, but my mom's thing was, oh, well, just get that strung and you can learn on that. So that's actually what happened when I was about 14. We finally got that thing, like took it to the guitar shop and got it strung. And I still have that guitar. It's a classical guitar. It's pretty nice. But that was my first guitar that I kind of learned the basics.
I want to go before that. What about in school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
No, I never. Okay. I never took any kind of music class except for the ones they kind of where the teacher would come in or with the little keyboard and you'd sing songs and you get the little wood block or the tambourine or something to play along with the songs. That's the only kind of music class I ever took. I wasn't really interested in being in the marching band or anything like that. I only got a real interest in playing music once, like kind of punk rock, for lack of a better word, came into the picture, and it sort of looked like something I could do that didn't have anything to do with school. I didn't have any interest in like really learning anything about music. I just kind of think I wanted it.
I asked that question. Let me ask you why I asked that question. I don't really need a big rap on that. I asked that question because a lot of schools got rid of their programs. And also people get introduced to things without their choice sometimes, and it still has huge impact on the rest of their days. That's why. It wasn't because, you're a big fan of institutional learning. I wasn't trying to say that. What about first record you bought with your own money?
Oh, yeah. Oh, probably like, I was trying to think of that recently. I think it was like a single. Does that count?
Yeah.
Like when they had single at the
mall.
People
are from different. People are from different eras, and the media changes. But the question, you got to listen to the question I'm asking you. When I said first music you bought with your own money, that doesn't mean it's independent of the medium or the size of the collection.
Yeah, I think it was the summertime single, Casingle by Fresh Prince, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
And what was the first gig you saw?
the first gig I saw, there were a lot of bands who were playing around my hometown that, like, cover bands, I think I would see.
What was the first gig you saw?
The first one I, like,
you don't know, then you don't know. It's okay.
Yeah, the first one I can remember, like, getting tickets to go. I mean, I would see these kind of cover bands in my hometown, but they weren't, like,
they would just be, like, I'm talking about first gig. You only have your first gig once. I'll tell you my first gig. Me and D. Boone, we saw T-Rex.
Yeah.
1973. Everybody says that. I know. We were lucky motherfuckers. It was $250 to get in, too, because in those days, gigs were mainly promo for albums.
Yeah.
So you think you saw a cover band gig. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there were.
I'm going to ask you about after school. Now, I'm not talking about graduation, but it's kind of like this time you're talking about early teens when you get that guitar redone and you want electric guitar. Do you get into the garage band thing, basement band, bedroom band with your buddies at school? Not graduate, right? It's in the afternoon when school's out.
Well, yeah, I think the first thing we ever did, as soon as I got that guitar strung, we were just bored in the summer before ninth grade, and we were playing in my basement. Like, my friend had a trumpet from playing in band, and he brought a trumpet over, and my friend who wanted to play drums, we kind of found some old, like, popcorn tins, you know, and played those with spoons, and we, like, went out in the neighborhood and played, like, little songs we made up for the neighborhood kids, like, as kind of a goof to just act like a band, like, playing in a city on the corner, but we were in the suburbs playing, like, on the corner of our neighborhood street. Yeah. That was kind of the first time I ever
So this band wrote their own material. You didn't see, when me and D. Boone first started playing, we were copying off records to learn.
Right. We weren't even good enough to learn any other songs.
No, but I think you had a leg up on us by trying to compose yourself. Just my opinion. I mean,
yeah, maybe.
You know what a zeitgeist is? A zeitgeist is German for spirit of the times. And if the culture imperative of that time is like nobody writes their own fucking songs, then you don't know that that's what you're supposed to do. Now, if all your buddies are writing songs, yeah, you get in on that. But I'm telling you, the 70s here in Pedro, not even the best dude who could play guitar in this town wrote his own fucking songs. It was just copying shit that other people knew, already did, and recording stuff. So it's kind of like building models. But I've noticed, I've been doing the show 22 years, and a lot of the more younger people, not from the 70s, but they started writing material right away. And I'm really into that. But, you know, it's just fate, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why I'm curious about that. So I don't think it's just a little nothing thing. I think it was pretty trippy that you guys came. Did this band have a name?
That band didn't at first, but we evolved to the guy who was playing the bucket, like, eventually got a drum set. The guy that was playing the trumpet eventually got a bass. I eventually got an electric guitar. I actually got my first electric guitar the same day the drummer I was playing with got his drums. So we were jamming that day, you know.
Sure. Who's writing the songs? Is it a collaborative thing? Or are you the songwriter?
I was the songwriter, I'd say.
Can you remember the first song you wrote?
Yeah. Probably the first song I ever finished really, like, with words was I think a song I called Happy Bum. I remember the first line.
Man, my first song was terrible, okay? My song was called Mr. Bass King Outer Space. And it was about playing a bass solo and blowing the rest of the band off. I mean, obviously I had issues. And that's not until, like, I almost graduate high school. It's terrible. So, Bum, huh? What was it called?
Happy Bum.
Happy Bum. Yeah. Do you remember playing it in front of people for the first time? Well, what was the name of this band again when you finally got a name?
We didn't even have a name all through ninth grade because we weren't really playing shows. But then there was kind of a hot shot guitar player who was a year older than us, and he took a liking to us. He started playing in our band. And by that, and then we actually started getting shows, and we were called Psycho Trash.
Do you remember the first Psycho? So the first Psycho Trash was on the corner in your neighborhood, right?
Yeah, that was the
seminal
days.
Without the hot shot guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, okay, you were in the suburbs, you were on the corner, but you still were fucking doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, how was that first gig? Would you call it a success? Would you call it a success?
I mean, the first gig was kind of like a gray area sort of gig. It was like we just sort of invited some guys to our practice space, you know, and we kind of played. It was probably like five dudes hanging out, and that's the first time. I was probably 15, and it actually felt like I was playing a show because there were some guys I didn't know that well, and they were like the only ones at our school who were kind of into the stuff we were into, you know, so they were musicians too, and they were kind of into it.
Did you play them a happy bum?
Just feeling high from that.
Did you play them a happy bum?
I think we were past happy bum by that point.
Okay.
Dropped it from the set.
Yeah, let's play some Mabronia. I got this Cross the Hill.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, that Chuck Music Head. Well, it started off with Abronia doing Cross the Hill. And brand new Dead Bob. This is a project with John Wright from No Means No. He's got a band without his brother. Dead Bob. Party of One. Although there's more than him in the band. He wrote me an email a couple of days ago. It says, beautiful. For 10 years, he hadn't played, he said, but he's back in the ring. Swenson Clay, some more Canada, but this is more east, Quebec, huh? With Swenson Clay with 8. SLWCC Watt. This is my collab with Sam Lock Ward out of Iowa City, Born Out. Wolf Eyes, they got a brand new record. This is Wolf Eyes with Short Hands. Car Wash 2, brand new from St. Abdullah and Jason Nasri. Cluster Society, yeah, I think they invented that word. Chell after that, Tanker, a new project Brother AJ in Holland has. Sir Richard Bishop's Freak of Arabi Ensemble with Warkat Yat Nasib. There's something live. Very interesting. And finally, Abronia. What we can see. So, how long does this band last?
Psycho Trash lasted until the end of my junior year of high school or so. Right before senior year. And then we kind of made that band into another band, just a trio after our guitar player went to college. We were kind of sick of playing with him anyway. So, yeah, then that evolved into a band called Question Rig, and then we were a band for a few more years till I moved to Portland, really.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and high school's over, right? So,
yeah.
Do you want to do music in higher education since you didn't do it in lower education?
Well, I actually went to a college that was UNC Asheville, and I kind of went because they had a studio, you know, you could kind of take recording classes and stuff. So I was kind of interested in that, but I was kind of just wanted to go on tour at the same time. I was like on the fence about going to college in the first place, but I know that I knew Bob Moog lived in Asheville, the synthesizer inventor guy.
I think they also got a Shakespeare festival there. Or is that Medford?
That's Ashland, Oregon.
Oh, okay. Down by California.
This was Asheville, North Carolina, yeah.
Okay,
up in Carolina, but
Western North Carolina.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I think Warren Haynes might be from there. No? No, that's South Carolina. Because there's an Asheville there and an Ashland. Yeah, not a lot of names, right? You know what's funky? There's a fucking place out here in the Inland Empire called Claremont. What's right next door? Montclair. I mean, give me a fucking break. I mean, humans are weird. Yeah. Humans are a trip. But what's even worse is Watt's memory, and I can't keep all this shit straight. Yeah, I'm talking about when you cross the border and they got that shit. Yeah, Ashland.
Okay,
so you're attracted by the synth man, and you're also attracted to the studio there. Do you spend much time? Yeah, but you head off to Portland on the other side of the country.
Yeah, I dropped out. I finished 2 years at college and then basically like couldn't wait to go on tour and kind of just did that. I formed a solo project called Ghost of Falco, and I recorded a demo in the studio at the school, and then use that to book shows to move out to Portland. So that's what I did. And then I kind of kept Ghost of Falco going for many years, though I'd form different bands in the interim.
What was it called? What was it called with the different manifestations, I guess? Lineups? Couldn't understand what you called the band.
Oh, Ghost of Falco?
Ghost of Falco. Okay, there it is. There it is. Yeah, you told me that. I toured with Tab Falco in 2015. I've always been a big, huge fan of his. Behind the Magnolia Curtain. Great album. He's living in Bangkok, Thailand these days. He's in Vienna a long time. He's finishing up that Arantia movie. Okay, so you get to Portland, and now you came out there with a band of North Carolina guys?
It was just me. I had a solo project, kind of a looping.
Oh, but you even toured band alone. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I drove out with one friend from North Carolina.
And what would you have, like, backing tracks on a pewter or something, or what? Or stomping on the deck, playing acoustic guitar? What was it like?
It was like live guitar, electric guitar loops, analog synth, some samples and singing. It was kind of ambient, kind of noisy, kind of songwritery.
But one man, kind of busky?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say busky.
Okay.
More like kind of noise scene informed, but also like singing songs that I wrote, you know.
But man alone. No collab. Just this.
Right.
He was more of like a passenger for the ride, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Interesting. I think that's pretty balls out, actually. Did you know anybody in fucking Portland?
No, I just...
That's like Bob Lee. Bob Lee packs his drums up in his station wagon in Lambertville, New Jersey, you know, and just drives to L.A., gets a copy of the Recycler, the thing that came out every Thursday, and looks for a band, finds Crawl Space. Fucking, another guy who tells me a story like that is Klaus Fluoride. He just come, you know, he was jamming with Leslie West in Boston, he told me, and then Felix Pappalardi got his gig. So he just goes out to the city, San Francisco, he flies out there, and he answers his ad for the Dead Kennedys the day he gets there. Yeah! Can you believe that shit?
Yeah.
Kind of career move without fucking knowing it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just like looking for an adventure change. I had a friend of a friend here who let me sleep on his floor for a while when I first got to Portland, which was super helpful. And then I just found a place just to live through the looking in the paper or whatever for housemate wanted. You know, that kind
and
of
then,
thing.
Like you said, you've always held Ghost of Falco in reserve. Because did you start doing? You know, there was a time when only Satyricon was doing gigs in Portland. But you're probably there. I mean, now there's like what 30 clubs.
Oh yeah, too many. Maybe.
Yeah, right.
But I got there in 2001.
Yeah, it was much different.
But
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But too much is things get sad. You know, humans.
Right.
Like here in Pedro, right? We started the tuna industry. Then fished the fucker all out. We had 500 boats. Now there's less than 20. And they do squid. Yeah, we're like that, right? The flag of Lebanon, there's a big cedar tree. Go to fucking Lebanon. There's no cedar. That was 2,000 years ago. They got all that. We do shit like that, right? I'll tell you, our Minuteman gig, first one at Chicago, was heavy because you know who was there? Greg Sage, the Wiper guy. Yeah, that was really heavy on us. I remember getting to talk to D Boom went through the deck. Kept playing. Didn't stop. Yeah, he didn't stop. Ah, shit. Wild about that. So, look, we're going to continue with your story, but we're at the end of the first hour, July 3, 2023 edition Wap Pedro Show. Special guest Eric Crispin. Hold tight for hour two. July 3, 2023. It's the second hour Wap for Pedro Show.
They won't detect our crime at all. And the schools aren't closed. We're all just truants who never learn what side we're on. And back and forth it goes with the wave in the hand. Alive. I guess I knew. Dark circling bird, afraid, cannot see me the way that I see you.
Pedro Show start off the second hour with Wave of the Hand, Abrona. By the way, it's Eric Crespo, not Crispin. That's Crispin Glover. And I apologize deeply for being such a fucking idiot. But sometimes I'm challenged this way because, like, the band name don't match the dude's name. So, yeah, I'm not going to call him Mr. Abronia. But we're going to get to how Abronia comes around. But first, we got some bands from Italy that we played after that Wave of the Hand. Electro Capra, huh? Goat? Electric Goat, I guess. La Gloriosa. Huh? You got your Latin there. Kind of glorious, huh? Above the Tree. We had Mark on a few weeks ago. The Great Cat Dynasty Pitch. Or Dini Stereotitis with an I. Pitch 7. Stefano Pellia, my bandmate, and Sonia de Marinaio, with Roman numeral 8. And then finally, Abronia, with Wound Sight. Ooh. I there's an image here. I can relate to it. So you get there, you're conking on some dude's house. You got fucking Ghost of Falco in reserve if you need any more one-man bandstand. But how do you take your music journey further here now that you've arrived? I mean, you made the great escape from North Carolina in college.
Right.
So
yeah.
What's the next chapter?
I felt like I was kind of road testing Ghost of Falco because I'd never even played a show in North Carolina with that project. I kind of made it up to tour out to the West Coast with, but it felt like it went well. So I got a show in Portland pretty soon after I got there at the Blackbird. I don't know if you remember that place.
I played there.
Yeah. And that felt like a good gig for me. I think I was 20 when I played there. It was a 21 and up place. I had to stay in the basement until I played because I wasn't 21.
Yeah, a lot of dudes do that. They can play the gig, but they're not allowed to really be there.
Right.
The drinking and shit. I mean, states have different laws. Arizona, you couldn't put a beer on the stage. Right? They're selling motherfucking buttloads out there, but you can't have one on the stage.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. Oklahoma, right? They got to sell you 7-Ups and Cokes. You bring your own bottle of hard liquor with your name on the label. That's a real smart one. Motherfuckers driving around with hard liquor. Okay. So how'd that gig go? It's still the Man Alone thing, right?
Yeah, still the Man Alone.
Do you start, in Portland, do you start playing with other musicians, though?
Yeah, eventually I do. I started a band called Alarmist. Not too long after I got there. I think we started in 2002. It was two singers and I played guitar and there was a drummer. We recorded an album for a label called Frenetic Records.
Now, is this your band or did you join this band?
I formed it with Nick Bindeman, James Squeaky and Eva. And we've made one album and toured the West Coast and toured the U.S. And then
now was that different than touring with Ghost of Falco?
What's that?
How is it different than touring with Ghost of Falco?
Oh yeah, well Ghost of Falco was still just a solo project.
Yeah,
I know.
So now you're touring with not just a guy riding the coche with you, but you're playing with other cats.
Yeah, we got a 4-piece. It was fun.
Different experience, right?
Everybody.
Even though you're not the lone star of the show, it is kind of neat to have band members out there.
Yeah, I mean, touring alone gets really...
Yeah, I can imagine. I would be shitting a peek in along.
Because the things that... When you have songs, you're playing solo, it kind of like every night, it kind of gets to be like... pretty unexciting, you know, when there's no element of chance. The only element of chance is you fucking up, which is...
Well, if you're with Watt, that's going to happen. Look, I'm going to play this game, some more Bronia. You know, in fact, all you gave me was a Bronia. So all this other stuff, people, goes from Falco and this band here. And what was that first one?
Alarmist?
No, even before that. Out in the corner with you.
Oh, Psycho Trash?
Psycho Trash. Yeah, we got no evidence, people. So you just going to have to imagine your mind. But let's listen to Mara Bronia. Here's Gaines.
chasing me.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music with the Brony doing games in Red Largo out of Berlin. Ex Machina. Brand new prods from Fred. Here's a big... This is part two of two. This was the Encore Jam, March 15. Ides of March, right? Watch out, Caesar. Live stream of 3 days, Domuna Noise University. I think Boris is going to do a big gig there soon. And this was Victoria Shantenko, Dar Video, Makoto Kawabata, Tetsuya Nakamura. Wow. Wish I would have been there. I think Victoria Shane called it the Hentai Squad or some shit. Team Hentai, that was it. Yeah, Hentai's like pervert in their language, right? Not her language, but Japan. Head Boggle after that. East Bay, Oaktown, Digital Percussion. Finally, Abronia. Night Horse. You guys do an album? You do a tour? Does the band keep going?
Alarmist, no. We split up right after the big U.S. tour.
Sometimes that happens. That's when you really get to know
still,
people, right?
We were still friends. I think Nick just was sick of playing drums in a band. Yeah. He quit.
Okay.
Eva decided to move to Oakland. I'm still friends with all of them, though.
That's
great.
That's real good, because just because you can't get along in a band. Or maybe the band just runs its course, right? I just heard about Tripper breaking up. And you know what they say, the arc, it follows an arc or something. So it don't always have to be some, like, you know, drama and bad Shakespearean kind of backstab bullshit. And just, you know, ran its course. And so I'm going to make a guess here. Does Abronia start to take shape, or is there something in between?
Oh, no, that didn't come about for many more years. I did Ghost of Falco for some years.
Well, you tell me you still got that, right? Still,
I still
reserve,
had it going. Yeah, I was touring simultaneously. I would go on tour with Ghost of Falco, come back and tour with Alarmist. It was like that for a couple of years. And then once Abronia broke up, I started.
Alarmist.
Sorry. When Alarmist broke up, I started adding some members to Ghost of Falco. So
you're changing that experience.
Yeah, I changed. I changed that whole thing up.
Okay.
Into being sort of a full band thing.
Okay.
But it was kind of revolving lineup sort of thing where it couldn't break up unless I wanted
it. Well, it started with you. We can end with you.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Right. You're the shot caller. And at the same time, were you like helping people out in other bands? Cause sometimes that goes on, right? Parallel universe shit.
I'm trying to think.
I went to your website and I saw at some point you start mastering and engineering and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when does that happen? When does that happen?
That was a little more recent. I'd say 2015 or so I started really doing that stuff more seriously. For many years it was just Ghost of Chicago was kind of my main thing, and I just kind of used that to aid my sort of
vagabond. I gotta go check some out, man. I wish you would have sent me some because I'm interested in what it sounds. How's it compared to Abronia?
It's pretty different. Abronia is much more of a collaborative project, and it's what I've been working on in the last.
A tour coming out, right? And you just made a record, and that's where we're playing a lot of the new stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, we're touring this summer, end of July, down the West Coast. Yeah.
We call it the I-5 tour.
The I-5 tour. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I'm getting to the point where I'm splitting. We're going to try with this MSSV tour, where I split a national tour into two legs, because that Rocky Mountain stuff is just beating me up too much. So why not do an I-5 leg and then do the rest of the country leg?
Yeah.
I'm going to try it out this fall here. So
it's a good way to go.
So when was the first Abronia gig? Oh, shit. You know what? We're at the end of the second hour. We're going to have to do this when we start off the third hour, because I'm curious. The first gig, how the band come together and everything, and we'll get up to date that way, okay, Eric?
Yeah.
People,
yeah.
July 3, 2023 edition Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Eric Crespo. Correct?
Correct.
Yes. Fucking what? Hold tight for hour 3. July 3, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
You don't pay up. Everything's going to be out on the street. They take all your pretty stuff and put it out on the street. You got to sit out there and watch it. People are going to take it. Everybody's going to know you didn't pay the rent.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with a brony doing Cauldron's Gold. Son Kevin, this is the son of Cynthia Slay, the Bush Tetras singer, and Ivan Julian, one of the guitar players for Voidoids, Richard L. And he's out there touring and making music and beautiful. After that, from Texas, Street Sex, S-E-C-T-S, people. Don't get too happy. Victims of Nostalgia. Yeah, Fonzie Potsy and all that bullshit. Remember my pop saying those were not happy days. Finally, Abronia with Rope of Fire. That's a good time. So, how does Abronia happen?
Yeah, how does that? It's been a while now. Let me think back.
You probably know better than Watt does.
I think I was just looking to form something new. I feel like I took Ghost of Falco kind of as far as I could really take it. I wanted to do something bigger, so I was trying to form like a bigger sort of band, I think. I knew this friend Keelan had moved back from Chicago to Portland, and I knew she played sax. I wanted a saxophone, so I hit her up, and I wanted like a pedal steel or a lap steel. We started playing with my friend Andrew, who played lap steel. Sort of just fell, you know, all the people, how people fall into place. Like Keelan had a friend James who moved from Chicago, and they had played in bands together in Chicago, so we started jamming. And I got the big drum. I had this vision for having just one big drum in the band instead of a drum set. So I bought this huge 32-inch bass drum.
Like with marching band.
What's that?
Like with marching band.
Yeah, kind of a marching band.
See,
drum.
It took you all those years, but you got into fucking marching band, didn't you?
Yeah, that was for sure. Got
careful for what you don't wish for.
Yeah.
No. It's in that band Radways. They kind of did that. What they did, they took a trap kit and then they put one cat on each piece. So they're like, yeah, there's too much room in the boat, right? So you get five guys where you had one guy. Yeah. Well, two of them are ladies. Yeah. So, do you remember the first Brody gig?
Yeah, it was April 2015 at a place in Portland called X Church, which is what it sounds like, an old church that became sort of a DIY sort of living space. It's still going. It's a great space. XXHURCH. Yeah, that was the first show.
And how'd it go?
It was great.
Okay.
It was actually pretty well attended, well received. I mean, we'd been around at that point
Kind of a Portland all-star band.
Yeah, yeah, a bit of one.
A little bit. But like people have been around and then playing together.
People have been around, yeah. Dewey was our original bass player who's played in Eternal Tapestry, played in tons of stuff. So he knew people too. I mean, so we knew people, you know. So it was... Yeah, I don't know, all-star, but yeah.
That sounds ridiculous. I just mean, like veteranos, cats who've been around, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Clumsy language from
Walt.
I want to play Half Hail. Let's listen.
Oh, Thank you.
Swat for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Chunk start off with the Brony doing half ale. Chinese herbal medicine, brand new, with grief. So trippy. Here, I sent you some music that might fit. Like, I'm thinking, what the fuck? Do you know what the Swat for Pedro Show's about? Anyway. Tim Holehouse after that, and the Tourette Boys. Unbroken Mantra. Finally, Bronia with Caught Between Hives. So tell me about this new Bronia album. Where was it recorded? Portland?
Well, the thing that just came out is sort of a improv album we made out in the desert in Central Oregon.
Tell people, you understand, Washington State, Oregon, and California, you get east of the mountains, you got rain shadow. It's desert. You don't have to be south. It can be way up north there, and they have desert.
Right, it's all sagebrush.
Right, no trees, right? Just brush, yeah.
Some junipers out there.
Okay.
Juniper trees, yeah.
We're thinking like Bend and stuff like this?
Near Bend, yeah that's where we were, yeah.
Okay, I played there once.
Yeah.
And I'd like to go back, you know, but it is kind of high. So you guys went and did a gig there and then recorded as an improv?
No, we weren't doing a gig. We just went out there to do this. So we did like 3 days. I brought a cassette 8-track. We stayed at this house and just recorded for 3 days, brought a bunch of weird instruments and filled up like 12 cassettes full of just the jams we did. And then I came back and edited all of that material down to 37 minutes. So that's the High Desert Sessions, which just came out.
And did you do that at your pad or a studio in Portland?
Where I edited the stuff, you mean?
Yeah. Well, like where you're doing work yourself.
Yeah, my home studio, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I love the idea of musicians doing their own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, besides that thing, the improvised thing, what about the stuff, you know, where you guys practiced and shit?
Yeah, that album, the most recent was Map of Dawn. That was a studio, proper studio album. We did that at a space. We've done all three records at the same space, which used to be called Type Foundry, and then it changed owners, but it's still the same space, and now it's called Echo, I believe, or also Sleepers Mountain. The name thing with that studio was a little bit tenuous for a while, but it's a great, great space in Portland. And yeah, we had Larry Crane mix our last album, Tape Op, famous for Tape Op.
Sure, and, sure.
Among other things.
Well, I know Joel Hamilton, him and Tony Mamone from Perubo have a studio in Brooklyn, and I know Joel very involved with Tape Op. Good resource, people. If you want to fucking know how to record a Kano, Tape Op, right?
Yeah.
There's the other stuff too. The other journals, right? In the lounge of these big fancy studios. But then Tape Op is, they jam Econo. Really interested
that's
in those.
That's one.
Guys.
Yeah.
And how long did it take you?
To make Map of Dawn?
Yeah.
It was, well, I think we did 3 days in the studio, basic tracking, and then we did some overdubs at my home studio, and I made, like, rough mixes and stuff, and then
I'm guessing you can't do drums at your pad, but you can do everything else, right?
Oh, we could do drums here. Yeah, it's just with six people in the band, I don't want to track the whole thing at my home studio space. And, it's just a better gear situation. But
maybe acoustics, too, and all that stuff. Tell me about this tour, because that's coming right up, right?
It is, yeah. First show is July 23rd, and it goes till July 30th. So not too long, but, we're getting down to L.A. You know, we're hitting San Francisco, Oakland.
Where in SoCal?
Show in Joshua Tree.
Where down
here? At Permanent Records Roadhouse.
Yes, it used to be Cafe Nella, Cypress Park. I played there billions of times. It's a record store, too.
Yeah.
Still. No, it wasn't before. Before it was just like, it was Dave Travis, just Cafe Nella. Nola, that's what it was.
Mm.
Or Nella, northeast of Los Angeles. And if people want to find information on the tour, can they find it on the internet, a website?
We have a Bandcamp page. It'll be there. We don't have a proper website, but we got Instagram,
people,
Facebook, all that
A-B-R-O-N-I stuff. ABRONI.bandcamp.com. com, not cam, .com. And you got details of your tour there. So go and see them. Is that your only SoCal gig? Well, you're playing in the desert, right, Joshua Tree?
Yeah, we're playing at a place called the Annex, a giant rock meeting room. Yeah, out Joshua Tree way, okay. Yucca Valley.
I don't know if I can see that gig, but I think I can go, come see you in the old Cafe Nello. What's it called?
Permanent Records.
Permanent Records, that's right.
Yeah.
And I get this. Last year I played a wedding there, one of their first gigs, when the new owners took over.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't do a lot of wedding gigs, but I did there. You know, why not?
Yeah.
You know, fuck, a gig's a gig. Whenever you play, I think you invest in the next time you play, so it's never wasted. Never. And you get back home, you going to work on new record and what?
Yeah, I'm recording other bands and stuff these days, but Bronya's working on new material for the next, writing stuff for the next album.
Well, when you get a new Brony album, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
That'd be beautiful. Yeah. Truly, truly. And what day are you at the fucking permanent record?
July 26th. It's a Wednesday.
Okay. 23 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to try to come and see you.
Great.
If you ain't on at fucking 3 in the morning, because what usually conks at 8. I'll stay up later for you.
It won't be that late. I think we're on second. Okay. Second out of three.
Too. Last time I was there, I saw David Pajo, and I had a good time.
He was nice. Great.
Yeah, the nice people there. But thanks for being on the show, and I can't wait to have you back on.
Okay? All right, thank you.
Safe seas on your fucking tour, and we'll talk again. People, thanks, it's been the July 3, 2023 edition of WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.